Good morning, and thank you for joining us on the tourism industry call for October 26. My name is Tamara Pigott with the Visitor and Convention Bureau, and we appreciate you joining us this morning. Going to kick things off by tossing it over to Jeff Mielke for an update from sports development. Jeff, remember to hit star 2 to unmute yourself.
Hey, Tam, can you hear me?
I can.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Jeff Mielke here with Lee County Sports. I really wanted to reiterate what we talked about on the last call, and that was coming out and supporting our basketball products this fall, especially Thanksgiving week. We have some fantastic women's basketball being played both at Hertz Arena and at Suncoast Arena. The one we're really focused on is the Thanksgiving night game, 6 o'clock at Suncoast Arena between Indiana and Tennessee women. They're both preseason ranked top 10. It'll be a great basketball matchup, but we're on national Fox television that night, and we want to make sure that the country sees that Fort Myers, Lee County is recovering well from the hurricane, that we support women's basketball. We support sports in this destination, and we certainly support nationally televised events. So we've got to have people in that arena. So if you're a hotelier or a business that's going to be open on Thanksgiving, and you've got employees or guests who might be looking for something to do, we've arranged a $10 ticket for just that game. Now let me say that if you do go onto their website, the $10 gets you to both the 3 o'clock and the 6 o'clock game. But the 6 o'clock game is the one we're really pushing because, again, it's on national television. We don't want that arena to look empty. So if you wanted to come at 3 and see Oklahoma play Princeton, you certainly can. But Indiana versus Tennessee at 6 o'clock is what we're really pushing. So I'm going to give you my email address. Many of you know how to get a hold of Tam at the VCB. If you want to get a flyer that promotes this $10 tickets on Thanksgiving night to put on your front desk lobby to guests who might be looking for something to do, just give me an email. And that email is J, and then my last name, Mielke, M-I-E-L-K-E, at leegov, leegov.com. Again, J, M-I-E, L-K-E at leegov.com. We also have at both tournaments, the earlier in the week is Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are the men's divisions at both Hertz Arena and Suncoast. The Suncoast event is all on FS1, nationally televised. We get 3 destination advertisements at every one of those broadcasts, and that will feature Wisconsin, Virginia, West Virginia, SMU. So there's some great college basketball being played in Southwest Florida Thanksgiving week, and no better place in America to watch women's basketball than our destination Thursday through Sunday. So I will say that after the Thursday night women's game, you certainly might be interested in the Gulf Coast Showcase women's bracket, which features FGCU, Iowa, which has Caitlin Clark, and Kansas State. They're all top 25 programs. If FGCU and Iowa win their first games, then there will be a showdown between those two schools Saturday night down at Hertz Arena. So it might be something that everyone's interested in, and I know FGCU would love the support if you all came to watch them play against Iowa. And then certainly we have the the City of Palms Basketball Classic in December, which we all, you know, proud of hosting. It's been here, I'm probably going to say the year wrong, but I think it's their 50th year anniversary. And they have all 5 of the top 5 players in America are coming and playing this event. So it's basketball season in our destination, and we hope that everyone comes out and supports it. Other than that, we're in the middle of Roy Hobbs World Series. We're certainly planning the spring training activities for next year. The schedules are out, and we are making sure that we're ready to welcome some fairly large events during the holidays, especially Perfect Game has one of the largest showcases in America that will fill quite a few hotel rooms between Christmas and New Year's Day. So with that, Tam, I will stay on the line and wait till the end and see if there's any questions.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Now we're going to get a beach update, beach renourishment update. We have Holly Milbrandt from the City of Sanibel's Natural Resources Department, and also Nancy McPhee, the VCB Product Development Manager, who oversees our beach and shoreline program. So Nancy and Holly, thank you for joining us this morning. You have to hit star 2 to unmute yourself.
Hi, Tam. It's Nancy. I was going to let Holly go first, if she'd like.
Okay. I haven't heard Holly click in yet.
That sounds good. This is Holly. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for the invitation to talk a little bit about our upcoming beach renourishment project here on Sanibel. The city has received significant funding from both the state of Florida Department of Environmental Protection as well as from FEMA through the Category B Emergency Berm Project Program. And after a lot of planning, we are looking to begin sand placement, island-wide truck haul sand placement project on Sanibel. Beginning in mid-November. We have a very aggressive timeline because of, in large part because of environmental constraints here on Sanibel related to sea turtle and shorebird nesting activity. So we are looking to have the sand placement completed by mid-February to mid-March in that time frame. It's about 400,000 tons of sand and will be used to establish, reestablish a protective beach dune berm from the area south of Bowman's Beach to Lighthouse Beach Park. Fortunately, Lee County was able to do and recently complete a renourishment project for the Blind Pass area of Sanibel, so that area has been completed for the time being. As you may or may not be aware, a truck haul project is has the potential to provide to make some inconveniences here on the island, considering what we're already dealing with in terms of traffic and the number of trucks that'll be required to get this project completed. But we know that this project is really important, and especially with our so many of our beach accommodations still being uninhabitable, this is really the best time that we have to get this project done. So we're hoping to be able to do it in a short time frame and minimize the inconvenience to all involved. And with that, unless there's any other details, I'm happy to stay on for questions as well. Or Nancy, if you have anything else that you think I should cover, I'm happy to do so.
And That was great. Thanks, Holly. Thanks for mentioning the Blind Pass project as well. I just wanted to remind everybody, you know, obviously with 47 miles of beach, pretty much all of our beachfront took a significant hit during Ian. We had already planned projects for a couple areas, as we do on a maintenance schedule, but I'm going to just go down the list real quick. Thanks to Steve Boutel for providing this information. He couldn't join us today. Captiva completed a project in 2021, and it did absorb a lot of the shock that Ian brought to the island, but they did lose 500,000 cubic yards of sand. So they just were awarded a significant funding from Florida Department of Environmental Protection, and they are in the process of going out to bid. And like Holly's Sanibel project, they would hope to have this complete prior to hurricane season of 2024. So that's just a kind of a patch job for some of the hot spots they have on Captiva. Moving to Fort Myers Beach, they are completing their federal permitting process, and they're ready to go out to bid as well. They have two project segments that cover the majority of Estero Island. And you'll remember the last time we renourished, we only did the north end of Fort Myers Beach. So pretty much the whole island will be covered. And this is a project that's going to be a combination of state, county, and the town of Fort Myers Beach funding the project. And again, just to remind everyone, when we do these projects, they're done in segments. So the beach won't be closed totally. There'll be segments that they work on to renourish and then move down the line. So there'll still be access for visitors. Lover's Key and Bonita Beach were planned for this year, and we're just waiting on one last federal project, which we anticipate getting next month. And then again, a lot going on this year. We hope to have that project done before turtle season next year. And again, that's a state, county, and the town of Bonita Beach is also being added on to that. There's a segment of Bonita Beach that's going to be renourished with the Lover's Key project, and the town of Bonita Springs is contributing to that. Also for 23-24, that's it for 23-24. We do have a Gasparilla project plan for fiscal year 25-26. We are going to see if the Army Corps, who is 100% funding that project, would move the project up a year because of some hot spots out on Gasparilla. And then, of course, lastly, Blind Pass. There's always maintenance dredging involved with that. Sanibel would benefit when they dredge Blind Pass. That's planned for late fiscal year 25 as well. So that's a recap of a lot of activity, a lot of work being done to put our beaches back into good shape.
Awesome. Does anybody have any questions for Nancy or Holly? All right. Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate the updates. Great to hear what's going on with the beaches. Can't wait for them to have their renourishment complete and have things back in order there. With that, I'm going to shift gears and ask Brian Ososki to give us an update on what's going on with the marketing at the VCB. Brian, remember, star 2 to unmute yourself.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well. Pam, thanks for the intro. I'll just be providing a brief VCB marketing update this morning. For starters, we just wrapped up a few weeks ago our 9th Island Hopper Songwriter Festival, and quickly wanted to share some of those attendance numbers with you, especially being the first time that we, of course, held the festival following the hurricane. This year's estimated total attendance was about 13,500 people, and that compares to about 15,000 that we had last year. In Captiva, we were 3,700 this year versus 4,200 last year. New this year for the festival, we added three new venues in Cape Coral. And the combination of Cape Coral and downtown Fort Myers yielded about 2,400 people in attendance. Last year, we were under 2,000 for the downtown portion only. And then out on Fort Myers Beach, 7,400 this year versus 8,800 last year. But the Pink Shell Pool Party broke a record this year with over 1,400 in attendance versus last year's 875. You have to put everything into perspective, right? You have to keep in mind that we lost five big venues for us due to the storm: Doc Ford's, Pierside, Nervous Nellie's, and a couple of other venues downtown. And the weather wasn't all that good to us. We had more rain this year than I think that we've ever had before. So we are very, very pleased with these numbers. In terms of our visitors who we surveyed, 58% booked a hotel room and over 20% booked a hotel room for four nights or more. So the festival is obviously still working. We are already looking ahead to the Island Hopper 10th anniversary next year, which will take place September 20th to the 29th. You can mark your calendars, September 20th to the 29th of 2024. All right, probably the most important information that I have to share with you this morning is regarding our upcoming annual meeting, which is taking place at the Marriott Sanibel Harbor Resort and Spa the morning of Thursday, November 9th. That is 2 weeks from today. The meeting was originally scheduled to take place at the Westin in Cape Coral, but has been moved to the Sanibel Harbor Marriott. Now, as many of you on the call probably know, in the past, we've hosted lunch meetings with our annual meeting, but this year we've decided to change things up a bit and make it a breakfast meeting. The breakfast will be served beginning at 8 a.m., and the program will begin at 9 a.m. Right out of the gate, we're going to hear from this year's keynote speaker, who will be Peter Greenberg, CBS travel correspondent and host of his own PBS show called The Travel Detective. Now, Peter and his crew came to the area in August, I believe, of last year to film a segment about us for his show, but then, of course, weeks later, Hurricane Ian hit. So Peter and his crew offered to return to put together a special report on our recovery efforts following the storm. And at the meeting, he'll share that segment, and he's going to talk about the experiences he had while he was here in destination. He'll also share some travel-related news and trends from his travels around the world, so it should be a good one. At the meeting, we'll, of course, roll out our new sales and marketing plan, sharing some highlights of projects that we're working on for the new fiscal. Cam will present this year's Genonia Award, and we have some other fun surprises, as well as some awesome door prizes that have already been donated. Incidentally, if you'd like to donate a door prize for the annual meeting, there is still plenty of time. You can reach out to myself or to Vanessa Gomez on our marketing team. Vanessa's email is vgomez@legov.com. Just let her know what you'd like to provide. We do appreciate it. There's also still time to RSVP for the meeting. You can just head over to leavevcb.com and let us know that you're able to attend and how many guests you'll be bringing with you. We do look forward to seeing you there. Now, in lieu of the annual meeting on November 9th, there will not be a TDC meeting this month. The next TDC will take place on Thursday, December 14th. Just a few other quick items. In recent months on these calls, you may have heard me talk about some of our placemaking initiatives, one of which is our neighborhood mural project that we've been working on in partnership with the Fort Myers Mural Society. As a reminder, we're installing murals in communities throughout Lee County to encourage visitor exploration and interaction. So the first of these murals was unveiled on Pine Island in May. We've completed a 5-mural installation at the Children's Garden at Lakes Park, and just yesterday, we unveiled a double mural that frames the entrance to the North Fort Myers Recreation Center. That was in combination with the facility's 10th anniversary celebration. These mural efforts will continue into 2024. The other effort we're working on, the other placemaking effort, features webcams in neighborhoods throughout Lee County. We have now 9 of these cams live right now on our leisure website at visitfortmyers.com. And I saw these numbers and couldn't help but want to share these. The number of views we've been seeing on these webcams is really amazing. The webcam page, since April of this year, the webcam page is the 3rd most viewed page on the website. We've had nearly 160,000 page views. And just to kind of give you an idea, the homepage at 164,000 during the same time frame. Total webcam views, 390,000. And that represents over 8,000 total hours viewed. And of course, this project is just getting started. Most of the views are coming from Florida, but 8% of those are from Ohio, 6% from Illinois, over 5% from Michigan, New York, and Pennsylvania. So, you know, our primary origin markets, folks in those markets are taking a look at our webcams. So that's what I've got for you this morning. I don't want to steal any thunder, really, from what the team has been working on for annual meeting. So the takeaway this morning is please do RSVP for the meeting. Head over to leavevcb.com, make plans to join us. Once again, November 9th at the Marriott Sanibel Harbor Resort. And Tam, that's what I've got for everyone this morning.
All right. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate the update. I appreciate everyone joining us this morning. Does anybody have any questions for any of the speakers, Jeff, Nancy, Holly, or Brian, or just a general question? You're welcome to ask that question. You'll need to hit star 2 to unmute yourself. All right. I haven't heard anybody click in, so we want to say thank you for joining us. Also want to let you know that this is going to be the last of these industry calls, at least for this period. We've been doing these for the last year. We're looking at the new year for us, the new fiscal year. We are rolling out our plans as we normally do. Sort of back on track in terms of our activity here at the VCB. So going forward, we encourage you to obviously participate in that annual meeting on November 9th, but also join in on TDC meetings. And of course, our team is always available to you. So if you have any questions or thoughts or issues you want to discuss, we encourage you to reach out to us directly or just a phone call or an email away. Try to be very responsive to you and meet your needs. So I think that, these calls have been very good for us to have open communication between us and you. But I noticed we're getting a lot less comments. And I think, you know, people are busy and on track or getting back on track. With that in mind, we're going to do the same and end these calls. But it has been, you know, really great to have them, and I really appreciate all of you participating in them each week early on and each month since then. But thank you very much, and have a good rest of your week.